today on Seeing the Podcast.
I do not know what it is like to celebrate having a dad who is like, you know, invested in your life, who's like trying to be your partner and your ally and show up for you.
Like, this is us like learning in public and like trying to...
Literally learning in public.
Yeah.
We were at Vancouver Public Library. Yes. There are glass doors. Yes. We were literally learning in public.
Pulling back the curtain of silence.
And learning what freedom feels like. I'm Nick.
And I'm Lala.
This is Seen.
Brown-eyed activism.
Healing at the intersections.
There are times when we feel like the walls are closing in on us and there's a lot of uncertainty. When we face deep bouts of isolation and loneliness. With this current change in seasons and the rising number of COVID cases where we are, and with winter coming, so many of us are retreating inward. And actually, we just can't really do that, anything about it. And if we're able to, and if we're lucky enough to have community, a lot of us are leaning on the people in our lives to help keep us afloat. This whole year has been filled with reflections about my family and friends. And, you know, I think a lot of us are kind of finding out more about our people this year, you know, figuring out how folks actually feel about important issues that are affecting our world and our communities. And then a lot of us are also spending, again, like tons of time alone. And I think with Christmas coming up and like all these kind of December holidays, I think like the reality of it is it's not being able to spend time with our people is really hard. And I obviously recognize all the privileges that I have with living and being in partnership with a really loving person, my fiance, Nolan. But as well, I've been feeling like this deep sense throughout most of this year of like, I want to spend time with my family. I miss all of my people. And, you know, since the beginning of our podcast, I've shared some experiences about my family and have frequently alluded to or spoken quite directly about the impact that my father has had on me personally. And, you know, all year I've been learning a lot more about what I actually need in regards to my father, mostly because it's become abundantly clear that I'm also feeling greatly affected by the distance between us. I miss him, but I'm upset with him still. And some of the things that have happened this year have made me kind of recontextualize my feelings towards him and the impact that he's had on my life for better or for worse. So we're going to talk about fractured relationships with parents and the difficulties that we may have in navigating the relationship or lack thereof as grown adult ass women, because that's what we be. We're not children anymore. And, you know, we don't shy away from discussing the difficult topics. And so I feel like this conversation has been like a slow build, but a very long time coming. And I'm really hoping to rely on you, Lala, to help me kind of work through some of these challenging feelings, because like I mentioned before we started recording, like this shit requires therapy. This shit requires like the expertise of somebody who is both loving towards you and knows how to like support you in those moments of processing. So yeah, I guess my question for you is, how are you feeling about this conversation today?
I'm feeling a lot of things about it. I'm nervous about it the same way I was nervous before we started recording the last one. You know, it feels very vulnerable. I'm also really excited. I've known that this was going to be the topic since we recorded last time you mentioned it. And so I've been like eagerly awaiting to see, you know, what you have to say and what you've been thinking about and feeling. So I'm really, really happy and like honored to be having this conversation with you, because I really want to hear about this work that you've been doing and how you've been feeling.
Yeah. Like I feel us talking about self-hatred in our previous episode, and then you mentioning on our IG live, you know, that we're going to speak about intergenerational trauma in our next episode after this one. As usual, this episode is timely and we are in sync. So cue the in sync meme, gif, whatever. So thank you for that. I'm grateful I don't want to like say the wrong word because I'm like not excited to talk about this with you, but I'm grateful that I can talk about this with you because, yeah, it's like I am so aware of your expertise as a therapist, but also just like I miss being able to talk to you in real time. So yeah, this is good. I'm excited about like just sharing space with you.
I know. I miss like when you could just come over and we just sit on the couch for many hours and talk about everything. It's been.
And eat sushi and like, yeah, just chill. I know.
It's been so long.
Yeah. Okay. So we're getting into this. So our BIPOC of the week, they're actually two folks. And throughout this episode, I'll be lifting up some of the brilliance that is shared by Asia Rutledge and Akila S. Richards. So Akila is a host of Fair the Free Child. It's a lifestyle and parenting podcast about the connection between liberation, learning, and parenting, particularly among BIPOC communities. And in this podcast, or in the Fair the Free Child podcast, specifically episode 160, she has Asia join and talk about the practice of reparenting ourselves as BIPOC. And so Asia and Akila speak about this in the context of being Black women and Black moms. And Asia specifically reflects on her relationship with her mom. So it's different, but so much of what was discussed in episode 160, it was so helpful for me in thinking about my relationship with my dad. It was different, but I was like, there are some parallels here. And they do this really cool job of like contextualizing this discussion of de-schooling, which is like unlearning harmful shit. I kind of want to like make it as a bridge to like decolonizing. Like it's like about reprogramming the ways that we like accept the taken for granted shit, and questioning things and being more curious about how upbringing and just the ways that we live in the world actually do affect our bodies, our senses of selves, and what that means on our journeys towards liberation. They talk about that. They talk about reparenting. They talk about, you know, breaking generational curses and what it might mean to redefine how we want to be in relationship with our kids, with our parents, with our family members, and all those kinds of things. So anyways, I highly recommend the whole podcast because I did some digging and it's just beautiful. Like I really, really enjoy what Akila is doing. But specifically 160, that episode is dope. And I'm recommending that really for Black listeners because so valuable and so raw. So I went for a walk listening to it and I was like, damn. So yeah, it was good.
Definitely gonna listen to that later.
Yes, please do. I guess just to start, like all of these deeper reflections about the effects of my dad and on me and all that stuff really began at the beginning of this year. I saw this Instagram post, and I think I've mentioned this to you before. It was like on this account called On Your Moon. And I really think I mentioned this on the podcast, but you know me, my mind is a sieve. So bringing it up again. And the Instagram post said, you know, tell your family that you love them, reach out, bury the hatchet. And that was in like January or February before COVID really popped off, like where we are in Vancouver area. And it was also around the time that Kobe Bryant died in that fatal helicopter crash. And all of that was kind of this like whirlwind for me of watching Instagram and social media pop off with everyone talking about having a girl dad and girl dad and girl dad. And I was just gutted. Like there was a big part. I felt really sad for Vanessa Bryant and all the folks who like, you know, lost loved ones. You know, of course that empathy was there, but I was also kind of just like, I do not know what it is like to celebrate having a dad who is like, you know, invested in your life, who's like trying to be your partner and your ally and show up for you. So it was really challenging for me. And do you remember this? Like, do you remember when? Okay. And where was your head at? Or like, did any of that resonate with you in any way?
Like around the girl dad stuff?
Yeah.
To be honest, I was following all of that stuff. And not once did I even think about the fact that my dad is a girl dad. Like he has three girls. I honestly didn't even make the connection. I love my dad. I like my dad. And I know that my dad feels the same way about me, but he's not a big part of my life. Like I rarely talk to him. So there is that pain there, but it's not something that's on a conscious level very much for me because I'm sort of used to that. So like really anything about, like when you said it didn't kind of connect to you in terms of feeling like you had a dad who was like really invested and like there for you every day and like that kind of like intimacy. I know my dad does feel invested in my life, and I know he asks my sisters about me and things like that, but I don't relate to, I guess, to the idea of that like man who's just there all the time and like you go to with certain things, and you know, like the ways that people talk about their relationships with their dads, it just like doesn't seem to relate to me at all.
Yeah, thank you for that. So I guess we're kind of on the same page in that, but I think your relationship with your dad sounds different than mine in the sense that there is like, there is, I don't want to say like, I don't like my dad or I love my dad. Like I obviously care for him. He is my father, but there is no relationship at all. There's not even like a, oh, I like him. Cause it's like, I don't even really know him. Right. Like,
How old were you when he left?
I had just turned 19.
Oh, wow.
I just turned 19 when my dad left. Yeah. So he was around for like my life. And I think I've mentioned this before. It's like, there was certainly like distance that he created between us in the absence of his like spirit. Like his body was there, like he was there in the house, but he was not engaged. Like he didn't seem invested. He didn't seem like he really cared to like be in relationship with his kids when we were around. So by the time he was leaving, I was like, good riddance. Like I was pretty, like, I think I felt like a personal elation and like somebody who I guess I had seen as like an oppressive force in my life, leaving my house and the home that I knew. And so it was good for me. Like I was really glad for that because I could have distance, and over time the distance became like, it didn't end up feeling like there was any desire on his part after he left to like connect back or be in relation. Like even though the relationship between my mom and him didn't work out, there was disappointment on my end of like, wow, like you don't even want to try with your kids. And my dad has 5 daughters. So, you know, it's like he is supposed to be a girl dad. Like he's supposed to fucking care. And like he says the word sometimes. Like I've seen things that he's written before, and he's like talks about how he's proud of us, and I'm just like, but you don't feel that way. Like it's not like you share that with us, you know? Yeah. Like when I saw all the girl dad stuff with Kobe Bryant, I was just like, I feel like missing out. I felt jealous a bit. I felt sad. And, you know, throughout this year, because we've been so distant from one another, not just my immediate like family, but my friends as well, I've just been also feeling this deep pull and desire to go back to visit Kenya. And like, I want this connection to ancestry. And, you know, at some point during the spring of this year, my dad called me, which was weird. Like, I think I told you this. Like, I was just like, oh, he called and was just like, as your dad, I just want to know if you're okay. Because COVID was like, everyone was like fucking scared, you know? And I welcomed it. Like, it was one of those things where it was like, why are you calling me? But like, thank you for calling me. But like, why are you calling me? Like, it was just so many complicated feelings. And then my mom got COVID and I was in a toxic, shitty fucking job. And my partner was away in the summer, and it was the pandemic and all this shit. And I was like, I want my mom and dad. Like, I really felt that way. I really felt like I missed an idea of us being together. And it wasn't, if we were together, it wouldn't have been a fulfillment of what I had hoped. It would not be like this cozy moment.
Yeah, that's such a key thing to realize, I think, because I think often we feel a longing and a grief. And I think it's so important to be able to distinguish between when we're longing for something that is possible that we could have, or when we're, you know, longing for something that doesn't exist. And like when maybe what we need to grieve is like the family we wish we had, or like the parents we wish we had, or like the ways that we wish our parents could show up for us. But I think it's so important, because a lot of times we might end up feeling that longing and then going back to a relationship where we're not going to get what we need. And in fact, we might be harmed. Like, for you to feel elation when your dad leaves, I think really speaks to how much harm you experienced when he was there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like, mind you, that was like 10 years ago when he left. And so some of those feelings of like elation, those have faded. And now it's a different set of feelings. But mm-hmm. to your point, and something that, you know, my therapist has told me is like, he's not going to be, like, he's still going to be the same. Not that he's still going to be the same person, but like, again, it's my expectations versus reality. And like, so much of my navigating through all these feelings have happened in therapy, but they've also happened, like, the most powerful transcendental sort of like whoa have happened in like stillness, sadness, like isolation, loneliness, not so much in therapy. Like, therapy's helped me kind of figure out like how to make sense of things. But when I'm trying to like surface the feeling and be like, oh, I didn't even know that it was this, like, it's, that's always been by myself. And in those moments, it's like, it's so real that like how, you know, our parents treat us and the feelings that we associate with those treatments and those behaviors and those actions, like, continue to affect us. Like, I think there's often this expectation as a grown adult, you're supposed to be kind of like a fucking blank slate and just like, you're supposed to, you know, like, be over it or grow up. And I recall my dad saying that to me, that I need to grow up. And it's gaslighting and minimizing, and it's counter to what we know to be true in terms of like parenting and just like general psychology of like, of course, the things that your parents do, the attitudes, the feelings, like the way that you're brought up are going to affect you. And I'm grateful to be able to process this with you, because I can see your face and I want you to chime in. But I oftentimes like battle with that sort of expectation with myself of like, shouldn't I be over this? Shouldn't I be past this? You know?
Totally. And yeah, it is so common, because we're given this message of like, you're an adult now, so take responsibility for everything. And we do have to take responsibility as adults, in that things are what they are, and it's up to us now to figure out how to respond and deal with things. But as children, our parents shape our entire world and our entire life. Like, they're the ones who set, you know, our sort of default of how we're going to understand the world, what our experiences of the world. They're basically like mini gods, right? Like, they control every aspect of our lives when we're little, and sometimes for our entire childhood and adolescence, if you have particularly controlling parents. So that doesn't just like go away. It's not like you turn 18 and like somehow the slate is blank. Like, it's all in your body and in your brain, and it's not going anywhere. So, I mean, I have sympathy for parents. It's a really, really hard job, but they have to take responsibility too for the fact that they did, and still in some ways do, have so much power in our worlds.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm so grateful that you just mentioned that our parents are often like mini gods, because in episode 160 of the Raising Free Children podcast, Akilah and Asia talk about the problem of pedestalizing our parents, but in adulthood. Like,
yeah,
the reality of it is that they are mini gods when we're children. But as we grow up into be adults, it's kind of like we need to take them off their pedestal, because we realize that they're human beings. And they speak about this in the context of like Black mothers, because there's like so many expectations of like what Black mothers are supposed to endure. But more broadly, like, pedestalizing, like we talked about before, is dehumanizing. It's not healthy for anybody, right? When we're putting these expectations as if, you know, a regular human mortal being is supposed to be able to fulfill all of our every needs. But also in the context of being a Black person, there is so much chastising and critique that happens when we do like scrutinize Black parenting, especially in public. So these conversations always feel like they're a risk. You know, it's like, don't pedestalize them, but you can't critique them because they tried their best. But sometimes it's like their best wasn't good enough. Like, maybe they tried. And also, one great thing that Akilah and Asia talk about is like, did you try your best? Like, did you actually try your best? There's so much like blanket sort of sweeping things under the rug, like that, you know, that's in the past, they tried their best, move on. And it's like, I mean, only they will know the truth of that. Only they will really know if they tried their best. But sometimes there's just, yeah, having a podcast and us talking about this, like, there's so much guilt in having these discussions, because I'm like, damn, I wonder, I know my dad doesn't listen to this, but I'm always like, will he listen to this shit? Like,
he could, yeah.
He could, could totally. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know. And then again, back to like critiquing Black parents, like, I'd never want to perpetuate or be contributing to these stereotypes about what, you know, Black men and what Black fathers are or are not, you know.
But then, yes, I really hear that. And I don't want to take away from that in any way. I just want to also add how important I feel it is for you to be able to be free and for you to be able to tell the truth and look at what you need to look at in order to heal. Because I think, I mean, part of why we have this podcast, we don't want to be beholden to the white gaze. And
yeah,
right, to the extent that white people listening could, you know, take something and add it to a stereotype and run with it, they're going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But you deserve healing and you deserve truth. So you deserve to be able to examine and like look at what your experience has been and like break some cycles of silence, because I think that's such a big part of this too, is that our family cultures, and this develops often over generations and generations, there's things that we're not allowed to talk about and, you know, ways that harm happens in our families, and they keep getting passed down and passed down as long as we keep refusing to talk about them.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. I certainly, it's, yeah, you know how I always, we always talk about it's easier to give the advice than to take it. And like, certainly if you were ever like, I don't want to talk about this, I'd be like, you deserve. But you know, I mean, we discuss this more in depth in our episode on chosen family and kin, mm-hmm. in one of our first episodes, of like, we always feel like we're supposed to be protective of our families, but literally all parents of all races can exhibit toxic traits. And that, I think, you know, that's the reality. It's not just like a Black dad thing.
Absolutely.
It's not a Black dad thing. It is a parents can do fucked up shit kind of thing.
Totally.
And
I just wanted to take one step back and say, because you,
I love you.
You brought up like the trying the best thing. And I feel like it's maybe not the most relevant measure, you know, like it's kind of unknowable, I think, even to ourselves a lot of the time, if something is, you know, someone is trying their best, but maybe there's other ways that we can talk about it, and maybe we will. I don't have like a list of them right now, but was there harm done is one.
Yeah.
Are you able to show up? Are you able to hear somebody else's truth? I think those are maybe some of the metrics, you know, that maybe are more important. So anyways, I just wanted to like put that out there before we keep diving deeper.
No, that's really good. Thank you. I really like those as alternatives, because we always talk about how intent versus outcome, you know, it's like, I might not be trying to be ableist, but I might be being ableist. And the outcome was that I was saying shit that was hurtful to you. I was demeaning you. I was disrespecting you. So it's like 100%. Was there harm done is a way better question than do they try their best? Mm-hmm. It's like trying your best and participation ribbons are really only good for like children. As adults, I think, you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, I just don't think that that's a great standard. So I really am grateful that you mentioned that, because that flips things on its head. And it makes me feel like, you know, the very real parts of me that are still angry and defensive and hurt and betrayed and feeling even like vengeful, you know, like all these very complicated feelings, while also wanting to protect my dad and also feeling tender and in need and fragile. you know, and wanting recognition for what happened and perhaps even reconciliation, you know, in a future me version, you know, these are all real frustrations that come from things that my dad has done, like those feelings of negligence and feeling like there's an unfulfilled relationship that we have between us. And I can't help that those things still affect me. So I'm really grateful that you said you jumped in there. And, you know, something that Aisha and Akilah discuss on their podcast is specifically that, you know, just how the things that our parents do can have deep imprints on who we are in massive areas of our lives, right? Like Aisha talks about her single mother having raised her to feel like she needed to be invisible, that she, you know, shouldn't take up any space. And I kind of relate to that. Like she was discussing something that her and her own son have done together. You know, they stay at Airbnbs and she's talking to her son saying like, when we leave, we need to tidy up the place as if we were never here. And she's recalling, like she's recalling saying that to her son and she's telling Akilah like, and in that moment when I was saying that to my son, like as if we were never here, Aisha goes, that's how I've been living my whole fucking life. Like I'm in rooms where I feel like I'm never, like, I don't want to be there. I want to be invisible. Like, how come when I'm in a room full of people, like, because my mom made me feel like I needed to be invisible. And even going deeper, like how it affects her relationships with people who are in supposed authority over her, like in workplaces, like managers, you know, not being able to trust people who are in positions of authority because she couldn't trust her mom. And I'm grateful for them discussing that so openly because, again, the expectation is that we're supposed to be blank slates. But in actuality, it takes so much work to like become the people that we actually want to be, you know? And so, yeah, like I, in the context of how my dad's behavior has affected me, we kind of touched on this in our Instagram Live, where I'm at right now and the person that I want to be, it doesn't align with how I've been feeling about myself because of my dad. And the things that my dad did, so he was very entrepreneurial and he just, things didn't work out for him and it really affected my family in a pretty negative way. And so as a result, I became very risk averse and it became really clear to me that like, I can't trust myself to work for myself. Like I, you know, I just need to like work for somebody else. And so all this shit came on its head when I was working for somebody else and it was fucking toxic this year and I had to quit a job. And it all came down to me realizing like, maybe I want to work for myself. And then I had to like sit with, why is that such a scary thought for me? And it was because of my dad. Like it's shitty when things come back to being your dad, when you're trying so hard to like run away from that, you know?
Well, and I feel like that's, you just said it, like the things that we try the hardest to run away from are the things that we unconsciously experience and end up like creating for ourselves. It's that shadow material. But yeah, I hearing you talk about that just makes me reflect on how in so many ways we almost spend the entire rest of our lives trying to like heal and recover and recalibrate from the childhood stuff, all of that wounding that happens.
Yeah, dude. And like, again, this is such an untidy conversation because there's so many competing, conflicting feelings that come up, right? Like on one hand, as I'm trying to honor my desires and the goals and the visions that I have for myself to be able to carve out new ways of being, working for myself, doing work that I find deeply meaningful and important that's aligned with my values. To do that work, I have realized that I have to reconcile something in relation to my dad. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I have had to like sit with the reality of my dad may have tried in whatever way he did, right? He tried. Don't know if he tried the best, but he tried, right? Mm-hmm. And as a human being, as like an individual person, and I think there are shared traits that I have with him. So I have to be able to kind of empathize with him so that I can humanize my own self and allow myself to like feel scared and to take risks and to not be so risk averse because his risks didn't pan out. Like I have to be, there's a part of me that realizes like, I don't have to necessarily forgive him, but there is a degree to which I have to like empathize with something that he might've experienced because I'm experiencing it now too.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think part of what you're speaking to with trauma, trauma makes us very rigid. It makes us very, it like lends itself to black and white thinking and extreme thinking, because that's sort of the safe, not safe. Like there isn't a lot of room for complexity and nuance when it comes to that survival brain. So that can work as a sort of survival strategy, but long term, the world isn't black and white. There is a ton of nuance and complexity. And so being able to hold the harm that your dad did and, you know, maybe good traits about him and maybe things that he maybe failed at, but you can also have empathy for that. Like these are all things that can exist at the same time. Like you can be so angry at somebody and also have compassion for them and all of the things. So I think that's a big part of what you're speaking to. But I also wanted to ask you, because you mentioned forgiveness. What does forgiveness mean for you?
Hey everyone, it's Nick.
And Lala.
If you've been listening to Scene and you like what you hear,
please share us with your friends.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Scene the Podcast.
Write a review and just tell us what you think.
And help make this work sustainable by supporting Scene the Podcast on Patreon.
We need our beautiful community and we cannot do this without you. I would say forgiveness would mean, it would mean me being able to accept the person. And when I say accept, I mean, I think it means like holding on to all those pieces that you just spoke to, like that my dad has harmed me, but also there are positive attributes and traits that my dad had that impact me that I draw from. And forgiveness would be like seeing him as that full complex person. And it wouldn't really be about accepting the decisions that he made or didn't make, because in some ways, I still have a lot of judgment about them. As I think about how, you know, I want a parent one day, I'm just like, I would never make that decision. I don't know what the fuck you're on. Like, there's a strong amount of judgment that I just don't think, at this point in time, I don't think that I could say, I accept that you made those choices that harmed me. But what I can accept and what I can forgive is that he's a flawed person. Mm-hmm. Is that he is a person who, you know, at the end of the day, my father is a byproduct of so many systems of harm as well, right? Like my parents immigrated from Kenya, and Kenya was a former British colony. And so a lot of what he learned about masculinity and about like what it meant to be a father was so colonized, even if he wouldn't say that, like it was, right? Mm-hmm. Like the machismo and the things that he identified as, this is what men are supposed to do and this is what women are supposed to do. I see that because, like, I see that as, wow, this has hurt you too. It's hurt you so much that you couldn't even talk to us about how it was affecting you. Like, my dad has never shared these details, right? Like, it's only me as an adult now kind of teasing out what would it have been like to have, like, immigrated to another country and have to start from the bottom. When you have internalizations about what it means to be a man, and, you know, and then you have an entrepreneurial spirit and ideas, and the horrific things that you've experienced at the hands of, you know, the government or police in your home country means that you don't really trust authority. And right. So you feel like, I need to take matters into my own hands. I need to be able to provide for my family, but then that doesn't work out and it keeps on not working out. But you also still subscribe to these like kind of heteropatriarchal ways of being. So like you can't accept that. And that means that you're not able to show up for your wife and your kids, your daughters, right? Like it's just, I just contextualize all those things a lot. Like I think that's the only way for me to be able to accept him. And yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that is the what forgiveness would look like or what it is looking like currently.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And I guess it, I feel like it fits in with my idea of forgiveness, which is from like the Oprah school. I don't know where she got this from or if she came up with it, but she always says that forgiveness is giving up the hope that the past could have been any different than it was. Like, it's just being at peace with something, right? And I think that's sort of what you're speaking to in a lot of ways, of like him as a flawed person, of like seeing your parent being able to realize what is it in their life and lineage that made them the way that they are and created, you know, the context for the harms that you experienced. And I also think that forgiveness isn't a static state, especially when you're talking about living people, you know, but even if they weren't, like, you're still a living person and things change every day. So I don't think it's a static state, because I think I often have peace around a lot of the harms I experienced from both my parents, but then sometimes I don't, especially if something that they do or don't do triggers it again, or I'm, you know, in my life coming up against it again. Whatever the byproducts of the harm, like the ways that the harm's still living in me somehow like pops up.
Right.
Like that, those are times that I'm not in that place, but other times I am. So I feel like it's, forgiveness is like, you almost have a relationship with forgiveness, you know, that like changes all the time.
Thank you for saying that. It's not static and it's not finite and it's not always final. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hearing from you, is like a lot of the times people will be like, you need, like my mom has said this to me so many times. And one time I had to check her, cause she's like, you need to forgive your father. And I'm like, did you forgive your father? And she was like, you know, it's like, there are moments where you're like, yeah, you know, I feel okay about this. And then this, things come up and it's like leaving room for that reality that like, it's not like you're always going to feel the same way, even if you can accept them and you can, you know, in that Oprah school of thought, sort of like accepting that things in the past are not changeable, you know, like even if that's true, I'm a living, breathing person right now. And there are going to be things that trigger me. And there's going to, you know, like there, I've had a conversation with my dad, I think it was via email, where it was like, you know, he's like, we already talked about this. Like, I thought that you have already forgiven me and like, you're bringing up old stuff. And I'm like, I can't help it. Like, this is not a tidy process, right? Like, you know, it's just, it's messy. That's all I have to say. It's fucking messy.
Well, and I think if somebody's saying like, if he's saying, well, I thought you forgave me for this already, to me, that is like somebody who isn't taking and hasn't taken responsibility for something, right? Yeah. Because to me, in like, I have like long-term intimate relationships where we've hurt each other, and if that comes up for them again, maybe we've talked about it a million times, but I can still hold space for it, right? Because I understand that that still affects them, and vice versa. And you know, and that's people who I had a lot less power over than, you know, my parents had over me. So, you know, the saying like, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yes.
It's like parents are so powerful in their children's lives, so it's like, yeah, there is a lot of responsibility to take. Sorry. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And like, as I'm trying to commit myself, and I think both of us are, to breaking generational curses, and in the context of like, I don't really know what reparenting means. So I hope that you can like, let me know a bit more about that, cause they talk about reparenting on this episode. They're kind of holding on to what it means to like, to let go of the resentment of the past and move into not necessarily blaming their parent for the choices that they make, but holding on to the understanding that the choices that they made happened and harmed them. Like the shift between like, I'm blaming you and I'm upset with you, to like, I have agency over how I currently have agency over how I let the things that you did to me affect me, some agency, a bit of agency, not always all the agency, because sometimes the things that our parents do to us are like, we need like therapeutic help. We need like support from other people. We can't just in and of ourselves figure out all those things.
Especially when your parents haven't done the work that they've changed, or like that they're not continuing to like do the same things that they've done that harm you, right? Like, I think that's a big key too, in terms of like blame and whether or not you're still angry with your parents. Like, are they still in their same patterns?
Yeah. And like that stuff that we can't, I can't control whether my dad's in his same patterns, right? But I can still, like, whether or not he is, the past still might impact how I feel about myself currently. But what I'm choosing for myself is that, you know, I am able to own the fullness of my skills, abilities, and choices in how I want to let the things that my dad did affect me and what's possible for my life. And with respect to entrepreneurship, I had to really face that personally and be like, am I going to let the things that my dad did independent of me that affected me, all of that shit, dictate how I want to potentially choose a similar path of entrepreneurship? Like, I'm not him. I have to be able to like separate those two things and also stand in the possibility that, like, you know, there may be things in the future that I'm able to move towards in my relationship with him that are more aligned with what I want. Like, I'm not going to hold on to this hope that he's going to be a girl dad. You know what I mean? But the future is still quite unknown. And something that Asia mentions that I think is really beautiful is, like, it's time to shift the conversation from a one-way talking down to a two-way bridge of respect. Particularly with our parents, because there's always this kind of feeling, kind of to what you were just saying, if you're not changing your behavior as a parent with your adult children and you're still kind of talking down to them, no, that's not going to work anymore, you know? And I think when I'm, as you were asking, like, has the behavior changed? I'm like, it hasn't changed. Like, some nicer words are being used, but the behavior I don't see has changed. So how do we get to that two-way bridge of respect?
Totally. And I think this is all where the reparenting stuff comes in, because I think the reparenting is, it's just the ways that we tend to ourselves, the ways that we care for ourselves, which includes protecting ourselves with boundaries. You know, the same way when you were a kid, you know, if there was somebody in your life that was harmful to you, like if there was some adult coming in and harming you or, you know, somebody else, it's part of a parent's job is to protect you. So that's like the things that you do for yourself then as an adult. Okay, here is my parent and this is how they're talking to me and treating me. Like, what are the boundaries that I need to protect myself? Or like with the entrepreneurship, you know, recognizing in yourself, you know, like when you say, I'm not going to let that affect me.
I don't want to, I think is the right thing. This is more accurate. I don't want that to dictate, but yeah
exactly, because you know it's not as much a decision that we can make, like I've decided I'm not going to let this affect me and therefore it doesn't, although sometimes that's like a moment of sort of resolve that then inspires future action, so that's important. But you know, if you recognize in yourself, okay, I'm afraid, or I'm not thinking enough of myself, you know, like I don't have the confidence in myself or whatever it is. Okay, how are you going to tend to that? Like, how are you going to heal that? And right, like that's what a parent again would do for a child. If the kid's scared to go to school or they're scared to take on some kind of challenge, you know, the parent's getting in there and figuring out, okay, how do I support this child to help them heal and move through this? And that's like, that's the piece that we are doing for ourselves, looking at these parts of ourselves that are in pain or struggling, and with love and respect and care, figuring out how do I tend to this part? That's the reparenting.
I love that. Thank you for that. And I love that you mentioned boundaries. You know, for me, I have realized, and we've talked about this before in the context of in our kind of safer, air quotes, safer communities where harm is being done, and how can we set up systems of accountability, right? To like maybe move the perpetrator outside of community to like fix themselves, get themselves sorted. And the reality of it is, and Akilah mentions this on episode 160, is sometimes it's not possible to heal in the same places where we've been harmed. And, you know, it's okay for us to create those boundaries and disconnect from the people, from our parents who have harmed us. There's nothing shameful of that. And there's nothing shameful about, even if the harm has happened way out, you know, years and years ago, or if it's still happening, there's nothing shameful about simultaneously wanting to have those boundaries and still longing for connection. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of the times I've just been like, what's wrong with me? Like, why would I still want to spend time with a person? Why would I want this person to reach out? Why am I elated that they're still, you know, why am I elated that they've left? But then when they call me to check on me during COVID, I'm like, okay, that was kind of nice though. You know, like all of those seemingly competing feelings are so valid and it's okay. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. I had to tell myself that shit. You know, because there's like so many juxtapositions, parents and like our family and our kin and our upbringing, like will continue to affect us. And I think for me, it's just holding on to all of those juxtapositions, like you mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, that need for accountability from my father and the things that he did that have harmed me. And also my acceptance that like I'm no longer a child, like I'm no longer little girl Nick, and I have different challenges now, but I'm here now and I have different things that are available to me. I have different skills. I have different resources. And then the possibility and the desire for like, you know, who I want to be as a person and who I want to be as a person might be drawing from some positive elements from a person that I've been in many ways seeing as like just an ain't shit dude. And there's nothing wrong with all of those juxtapositions, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I love that. And I just think we need more of that, you know, more of being able to speak about this topic and think about our parents with complexity, because so often people hold parents on a pedestal, like we talked about, and in particular mothers, there's like a very specific mm-hmm. thing around like, oh, your mom, like she did so much for you. Like yep. mothers are amazing. Call your, you know, yep. call your mom, be close with your mom. Like, what do you mean you don't have a close relationship with your mom? Right. We need to allow mothers to be humans like everybody else, which also means being able to understand that mothers, a lot of people have troubled relationships with their mothers and a lot of people have troubled relationships with their fathers. And you know, like we need to give up the sort of picture perfect happy family illusion that so many of us are so attached to.
Yes. Yes. And I think the more that we're able to get like rid ourselves of that picture perfect illusion, the more we're able to accept all of the complexities and the messy bits about our own selves and our own relationships with ourselves and with people that have harmed us, who love us, who don't love, you know, who like us, who whatever. Like, I think the idea of the girl dad as like an archetype and also just kind of as this, I don't know, as something that I've never experienced, I am trying my hardest to celebrate the people in my life who have that relationship with their dads and to say like, wow, I'm so happy that you have that. And like, it makes me also be excited about the future with Nolan because he wants to be a father. And I'm like, wow, I can't wait to have kids with you because I know that you would be a girl dad, whatever dad, like he would just be a great dad, you know? It doesn't, and where I'm hoping that we can close out is the fact that our parents might still have a fucking grip on our hearts and the ability to make us feel little and feel like, you know, we need to be invisible or feel like, what's the matter with me? Or feel like they still don't understand us or don't want to understand us. Like, all those things can be while we're also loving on ourselves and accepting ourselves and being kinder to ourselves and reparenting ourselves whenever, wherever we can, however we can. And also just holding ourselves close and accepting that like we've made it this far with parents that have been harmful to us and maybe with parents that have tried their best or tried or whatever. Like all those things are valid experiences and there is nothing wrong with you in fumbling through adulthood if that's where you're at.